Michael Brown will be laid to rest today at a church in St. Louis, Missouri. We know several Missouri and national dignitaries are going to be there. Governor Jay Nixon is attending. Congressman William Lacey Clay is attending. He's expected to speak. Congresswoman Maxine Waters from California, she's a St. Louis native and is also attending. Claire McCaskill, Senator Claire McCaskill will be there, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson is also attending, as I'm sure many others who have not made it public they are going. Michael Brown's father yesterday actually pleaded with protesters to give family space today to mourn, to have it be their day, to have the attention be on their son. We had heard that the Westboro Baptist Church was planning a picket. We'd also heard that it's likely the Patriot Guard was going to be there to block them if they did show up.
And overall, you know, maybe even taking this back from the beginning, when comparing the amount of peaceful protests versus violent ones, talk to us a little bit about that, because we've heard from people on the ground that the way the media is portraying this, you know, really has been kind of sensationalizing the rioters. As someone who's been there on the ground, just, you know, tell us a little bit about what that's been like.
Well, there's always been a small portion of individuals who have decided to get violent. The first night, the night that I was out there when this all started, the march itself that originated at the site where Michael Brown was shot had probably about 1,000 participants, maybe more, maybe less. Crowd sizes are really hard to estimate sometimes. And it was a very, very, very small group that instigated the violence, that began throwing the rocks and bottles, that began not listening to the older protesters who basically said, stop, this is not what we want to see. Once the looting began, it did become a little bit more widespread. A lot of people were just standing around watching it, not necessarily doing anything to stop it. Maybe some of them did call 911. Some of the protesters I heard that first night, that first Sunday about 2 weeks ago, were justifying it. I heard one woman say, if they hadn't shot that kid, this wouldn't be happening. But I do think it's true that it's always been kind of a smaller group that's wanted to stir things up. I was talking to a pastor who had been on the ground serving as a peacekeeper, and she said she'd learned that some of them were coming in from California, New York, and other states.
Some of the more violent
Some of the agitators, some of the more violent people. There definitely have been people for whom this is a cause that they want to come support, that they believe in finding justice for Michael Brown, however that justice is defined. They believe in reducing police brutality. They believe in reducing racial disparities. They believe in demilitarizing the police, and they've been joining the marchers. But I think as is true for any group, or any protest that takes place, there's also been a group that wants to just use it to express their own views that may not align with the majority of the protesters.
And as far as those out-of-towners, does it appear that they're begun leaving, or are they sticking around for the funeral today, or any sense of that at all?
It's hard to say. There have never been all that many out-of-towners as defined from those from outside of the state. The St. Louis County Police and the media itself, too, have been making a big deal that very few of the protesters or very few of those arrested have been from Ferguson itself. But it's important to understand is that many of these municipalities around Ferguson, it's not like it's that far away to be in Delwood or in Jennings. You can cross a street and be within the next municipality. So it's not like you're talking about somebody from Springfield being arrested at a protest in Chicago.
And give us a sense of what happened over the weekend, what the activity was like from protesters as well as police.
Very, very, very calm from what we could tell. There were a couple of more sanctioned, organized marches on Saturday. There was a big youth rally that attracted about 300 to 400 marchers. You have to remember it's been almost 100 degrees in St. Louis for the last few days and very, very humid. So that's probably been playing a little bit of a role in keeping the number of protesters down. Nobody wants to be out when it's still 95 degrees after the sun goes down. The NAACP protest that took place on Saturday actually had Police Chief Sam Dotson from St. Louis City, the St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar, and Captain Ron Johnson, the Missouri State Highway Patrol captain, who's in charge of security in Ferguson now, at the head of the march.
School kids are going back to class today.
That is correct. After a week and a half, the Ferguson-Florissant district is going back. Other districts made the decision to go back to class earlier. We know the district is providing crisis counselors and other assistance to the children who may have been impacted. And even last week, they were making sure that children who may depend on the free and reduced lunch program were getting fed. And the St. Louis County Library branch in Ferguson was doing kind of a teach-in for the students who just may have needed a break or who had nowhere else to go other than to school at the time.
And over the weekend as well, we heard of rallies for Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot Michael Brown. Can you tell us about those at all?
Those took place quite a bit of a distance away from where this is all taking place. This took down in South City, which is a place where a lot of St. Louis City police officers live, at a bar that has been known to support police officers. And they were small. They did not attract the same number of people that a rally in support of Michael Brown or against the violence in the community might. But their supporters were vocal, basically saying that it's not fair that he has to go into hiding for what they say defending himself. They want all of the facts of the case to come out. They did attract some counter-protesters, smaller in number, probably about 15 to 20. At one point, some of them did start exchanging words, but also saw photos on social media that showed supporters of Darren Wilson bringing water to supporters of Mike Brown. They're just basically saying that Darren Wilson needs someone to speak for him as well. We have not heard from that officer since his name was released. It's believed that he's probably somewhere safe with his family.
Charges have yet to be pressed against Officer Darren Wilson. Is that correct?
That is correct. The grand jury in St. Louis County started meeting last Wednesday. The understanding that I have is they meet once a week, and it could take as long as October for all of the evidence to finally be laid out. The person prosecuting the case has actually become a bit of a flashpoint in all of this, St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough. There's been repeated calls from the African-American community for him to recuse himself from the case. They don't believe that he can be fair or present the evidence in a fair manner. His father was a St. Louis City police officer shot and killed in the line of duty in the 1960s by an African-American suspect. So they believe that he has an agenda, that he's more pro-police officer than they would like to see the prosecutor be. McCullough has said that he will not step down unless Governor Jane Nixon tells him to. And so far, Governor Nixon has said, I have confidence that this process will play out in a just fashion.
So is it possible then that the police officer would not be facing charges ultimately?
It's entirely possible that the grand jury would decide, based on the evidence they've received, not to indict Officer Darren Wilson. Even an indictment in this case is not a sure thing.
Any update on the FBI civil rights investigation or a timeline for that?
None so far. That's going to take a longer process. That's looking at whether or not the civil rights of Michael Brown were violated. And as some legal experts have told St. Louis Public Radio, that involves getting into the mindset of Darren Wilson and what he believed at that moment. They say that it's almost harder to get a civil rights conviction than it would be to get a conviction on state law.
Now, having the distance of a couple weeks at least from the initial shooting and the demonstrations that have broke out since then, do you have a sense of what the main message might be that's being put out? We're hearing a lot about protesting, racial tension, police brutality, and militarization of the police. Any, you know, kind of main message that's being sent from Ferguson?
Well, the militarization of the police is being addressed at a higher level, at a political level. Senator Claire McCaskill has called for hearings into that. President Obama announced over the weekend that he will be reviewing the Defense Department program that allows police departments to purchase some surplus goods from the Defense Department. Rear Admiral John Kirby, who's the briefing officer for the Defense Department, actually addressed this in a press briefing last Friday. He said that 90% or a good majority of what is available to police departments is just surplus office supplies and communication equipment, that the bulk of what they get is not the weapons and the gear and the armored personnel carriers that we've been seeing. When I was talking to residents in Canfield Green and along the streets of the protest zone, they were saying they would hope that the community stays united and gets politically active, moves to get better representation in their community, get some African-American elected officials in Ferguson, move to get the mayor out of office, and just stay united as a community and rally for what they believe the community needs.
So is there a sense now of what's next? It seems things have become a bit calmer in recent days. Does it seem like that might be the case from here on out? And, you know, if that is so, is there possibly something ahead that could reignite the passion being felt in Ferguson?
I think the next big flashpoint is likely to be if and when an indictment or a decision not to indict is announced. Again, that's a couple of months down the line. ironically, or not ironically, I suppose, I think the national media pulling out is going to help a little bit. You're going to have fewer people pandering to the cameras. I did note on Thursday that as the group that was marching up and down West Florissant, that kind of main drag in Ferguson that's become ground zero for these protests, they would always make sure to stop at the CNN tent where Anderson Cooper was broadcasting his show. And when Anderson Cooper and NBC both packed up their trucks and left for that night, the numbers dwindled fairly quickly. I think it's probably fair to say that as tensions begin to ease a little bit and the police kind of pull back and let life get back to normal, you've got to remember there's been kind of checkpoints and a lack of free-flowing traffic kind of in and out of this area for the past couple of weeks. It's kind of been like a secure kind of containment zone. Once that is allowed to happen, it'll ease the tension a little bit, but I think there's still going to be this underlying until a resolution is reached one way or the other until there's a final point in Darren Wilson's case.